podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute cities, you put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask warning, it was Karen and Joe. You see, you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where Brendan McCullum doesn't want to have a beer with us, and we're okay with that. This is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Do you believe in such a thing as the spirit of cricket?
Yep.
After Bairstow's dismissal today, which was within the letter of the law, no disputing that, but are we in danger of seeing mancads or underarm bowling later on this series?
I mean, depends how flat the wickets get. It might be an option we go to.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke and friend of the podcast, Pat Cummins.
That makes me laugh every time. It's just water off a duck's back to Pat Cummins.
Yep. Well, I mean, he did have a baptism of fire when he became captain, right? Very shortly after, he had to face down Steve Waugh's entire intimidating team when they lost their shit over Langer.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure anything England players or journalists or, you know, fans could throw at him is going to bother him
at all.
There's
nothing that frightening.
Definitely not.
And also I love this. When he was interviewed after the match by the BBC, he was informed maybe multiple times that Ben Stokes claims he would have withdrawn this appeal. Yep. And Cummins replies, okay. So great.
Yeah, definitely doesn't care. I mean, do we believe that Ben Stokes would sacrifice victory in an Ashes test based on, you know, kind of nebulous moral principle? I'll believe it when I see it. And ideally in the third test, he's more than welcome to throw away the third test for some moral high ground that he wants to take.
It's an improbable thing. It isn't sitting well on him, I don't think,
no.
His claim that he would take the moral high ground on this. But can we pray to the spirit of cricket? Because if we can, let's plead to the spirit of cricket that we want Stokes to be given this opportunity in the third test.
Yeah, so I do vividly remember in 2019 World Cup after he accidentally deflected that ball to the boundary. I'm almost certain he blocked the next ball to ensure parity was restored. I'm pretty sure he did that.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember, but I'm sure he would have done that, or he would have claimed that he would have done that.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I definitely think all Australian batters should be wandering dozily out of their crease as much as possible for the next match, because you know Bairstow won't be able to resist throwing the stumps down. He was doing it before.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be trying to do. I mean,
he'll miss several times.
Yeah, but he'll get it sooner or later, and then it's over to you, Ben. Are you going to withdraw this appeal or not?
I love that. Prime Minister of England, who nobody knows who that is, by the way, in Australia, but Prime Minister Sunak says, I agree with Ben Stokes. I simply wouldn't want to win a game in the manner Australia did. And I think it's, you know, it's actually pretty simple. If they don't want to win a game by the cleverness of their keeper, just keep selecting Bairstow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure they've got many choices on how they do want to win a game at this stage.
No.
They should just take any way they can win it at this
point.
Wow.
I mean, that's why they've lost two already. Yeah. They've denied those particular ways of winning or even drawing.
Yes.
But the wicket really did get Stokes fired up. It was so much fun watching Stokes bat. And I love Ben Stokes. I mean, he's always been one of my favourite cricketers. No denying that I adore Ben Stokes. I think he's fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, he got, what did he get, 155 off 214 balls. And it looked for all money that he was just going to repeat the Headingley thing again.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to pull off yet another Ashes miracle, which would, of course, you know, devalue the entire concept of miracles. If you do too many of them, it just reduces them to humdrum, run-of-the-mill outcomes. But having a Pope in your side, that's no excuse for flaunting miracles, Ben.
No,
so it was a good,
right.
good thing that he was eventually dismissed, because it would have just been unbelievable if he'd done it twice.
It looked like it was going to happen. I mean, it's actually my favourite thing about the whole controversy, right?
Yeah.
If anything, England didn't lose the match as a result of this.
They
did better as a result of this particular stumping. And they still couldn't win it.
Yeah.
They certainly did better. I mean, Ben Stokes, I'm not convinced he would have been that fired up.
No, I don't think so, no.
It's possible.
Speaking of Ollie Pope, he's out for the rest of the series. He's got a busted shoulder.
Right.
And, of course, he goes along with Lyon, who is also out of the series with a busted calf. Although it didn't prevent one of my favourite moments of the match when Lyon did come out and bat ridiculously. It was very funny, very stupid. He was boundaries or nothing. Stark boundaries or nothing. Yeah. He ended up putting on, 15 runs for the final wicket, which when it got down tight at the end, those 15 runs looked pretty important. It was tight enough when Stokes, was within whatever he was, 80 runs of victory. It was just like, God, if that was 65, 50, would have been terrifying.
So we're still in the intro here, but I have one more question for you, Dan.
Yep.
What did you say to McCullum when he said he didn't want to have a beer with us?
Okay.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover, of course, the Ashes, right?
That's right. Australia have won the first two matches, yes. And it may not have been predictable.
No,
Anyway, now England need to win everything else in order to regain the Ashes.
Yes, yeah. I mean, they're very sensibly talking up their chances. I mean, you don't expect them to come out and say anything else. Of course, they're going to say we're still in with a chance to win it, but it does feel pretty improbable, right?
Yeah.
Just weighing up the two sides, you look at the two lineups. England are a good team. They're a very good team.
Yeah.
But it does seem player for player like Australia are just slightly better, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got Perry, Mooney, Gardner, Healy, McGrath, Sutherland.
Yeah, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You have got some England players obviously doing well, and we will go through the details of that. So let's go back to some of the highlights from the test.
Yes.
And it started, of course, with a great milestone for Elise Perry. So she's played 16 years of international
cricket
now?
She's in her 16th year now of international cricket, and she's just managed to play half as many tests as Cameron Green. Although, of course, Cameron Green is now pulled away again by playing the most recent men's test. So unlucky for Elise. She was closing in on him, but he pulls away. Again.
Wonderful stat that you managed to spot there, and it has been quoted a number of times since then.
Yes.
It is an interesting concept. We of course had some players who just didn't want to get off the ground because they play cricket so rarely that they just wanted to bat out the entire test, so that was wonderful.
Yeah, but Phoebe Litchfield didn't fall into that category.
She was opening, of course, because we have a slightly different lineup for Australia here, and she was opening, and she was out LBW. Kate Cross hit her on the pad. She left that ball.
She wasn't playing a shot.
And then she didn't review it.
Yeah, the umpire gave her out and she said, fine, off I go. Didn't even talk to Beth Mooney. She just basically said, I think I'm out. And off she went.
Yeah. That's what you do in early days in your career. Yeah. If she burns a review in a future match, then she's even, right?
Yeah.
So she's got reviews in the bank.
Yes, she does.
Wise.
Yes. Yeah. We also had, of course, Elise Perry. She scored 99 in the first innings, which took her test batting average to 77.36.
Which is insane.
It is. It is since in the second innings plummeted to a shameful 73, so she'll have to work on her batting before the next time she plays a test, which, who knows, that's months and months away. Not 3 days away, months and months away.
Months and months away. And Annabelle Sutherland, of course, did score a century, and, she made 137.
Yes.
Not out. And what was her average? She had an average higher, I think.
Yes,
Perry,
but when that innings finished, she had a test batting average 0.14 runs higher than Perry. But again, she's also fallen away. She's now down to a very worrisome 56.7, which is pretty grim for the batter who comes in at 8.
Imagine having seven batters with a better average potentially claiming those top spots.
Yeah.
Anyway, they are doing well. But of course, we did mention there are some players in England who did extremely well. Tammy Beaumont. I mean, amazing.
She was fantastic.
Double
she was unstoppable.
Yeah.
A double century, the highest ever England women's test match score. Amazing. And she was the last batter out as well in England's first innings for 208, which meant she'd been on the field. Yeah, well, she'd been on the field during Australia's entire innings, then on the field for England's entire batting innings, then on the field again for Australia's entire innings. Not until she was dismissed in her second innings, which I think was very late on the fourth day, was she not in the middle.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
I like
crazy
that attitude, effort. As I said. When you get to play the odd test, make the most of it.
She definitely did.
Yeah.
Yes. So, her innings got England pretty much to parity because Australia made a very big first innings score thanks to Sutherland and Perry and the like. And Beaumont pretty much got them even, though they were a few runs behind, not many.
Yeah.
And then later on that third day after the England were all out, Australia pulled away again with another big opening partnership. And you kind of thought, England have done well to keep up for now, but they're going to fall away again. But no, they hung in there.
Sophie Eccleston got a 10-wicket haul, and Lauren Filer, the new dorky, fast bowling wizard, she was incredible. I mean, she started the collapse, right? Yeah. So she's wonderful. It's glorious to watch her bowl. Mm.
Yeah, she knocked over both Perry and Talia McGrath. Oh, she was fantastic. I really enjoyed watching her bowl. She just looked so goofy. Like, she had the really strange run-up where she was kind of on her heels, like some kind of cartoon character. And then in she'd come and she'd bowl like the wind. Like, it wasn't always on target. It didn't matter. It was fantastic.
It was really fast. Yeah. And so England, had a huge chance of winning at that point. We were heading into a fifth day. We never get 5 days for a women's test. And so Ashley Gardner, she came in and said, "I'm cleaning everyone up."
Yep.
She was incredible. Yeah, so she took 8 wickets.
Mm, yeah. I called her Ash Late Gardner, which doesn't really work verbally, but, write it down. It makes
Ash
more sense.
Late, Ash Late.
Anyway, her haul, she got 8 for 66 in that second innings, which meant she got 12 for 165 for the match. They were the best innings and match figures in Australian women's test cricket history, and that meant Australia won by 89 runs and took a 4-0 lead in the multi-format series.
Yeah, well, I love the way that the women were bowling and not taking forever to bowl. Like, we got a good number of overs in every single day.
Yep.
The last 10 overs were all bowled by McGrath and Gardner, which is really fascinating for the last 10 overs of a test match, effectively. And, of course, Gardner was taking all the wickets. Alana King should have been bowling, but she had an elbow injury in the middle of that. And I got in trouble for saying she was a king, which is a terrible pun. Yes, terrible pun.
Yes.
But it is incredible to think that Ashley Gardner got, of course, player of the match. Mm. But there were many, many candidates for player of the match. You know, imagine scoring a double century.
Yeah, or taking 10 wickets in a test.
Best scoring test history and not getting player of the match.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Crazy. And it wasn't even that controversial a decision. That's very, very strange.
Yeah, I have another stat for you here. This was only the third women's test match in which the bowlers took all 40 wickets on offer.
Oh, there you
go. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, because they've only played 4 days, so there's had to be a lot of declarations forced and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so both teams were bowled out twice with no run outs either. Yep. No dozy wandering out of the creases for the women. The others were in, obviously, they're all, well, not obviously, but they were all Australia versus England test matches. That's who plays
the
test cricket.
The odds are with it, yeah.
Yeah. It was Adelaide 1984, Perth 2014, and of course this match, Trent Bridge in 2023. So I think that's an interesting stat as well.
Yes. And is it an unfair advantage for Australia to have a woman named Ash in the women's Ashes? It feels very unfair to me.
Yeah, it's silly of her to change her name, right? Yes. Just to go into this tournament.
Yeah. What about the T20? That was the second game.
Yeah, we were fast asleep. We were exhausted from all of this Ashes test cricket.
Yep.
But anyway, Beth Mooney got Australia home. And, of course, now Australia are 6-0 up in this multi-format series. There are still a couple of, more T20s and ODIs to come. But they only have to win one more and get to 8 points. And that means the Ashes are retained by Australia.
Yeah, so if they get to 8, then the best England could do is draw level with them, assuming they won the rest. And that is not enough for England to steal the Ashes back. And, of course, as we mentioned, the Australian men also doing well. They took a 2-0 lead in their Ashes series. Good for them.
Good for them.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
Okay, so this week's episode is sponsored by my Ashes screenplay, which I continue to churn out after pretty much every day's play. It reimagines every day's play, both the men and women's matches, in the form of an ongoing movie screenplay, which probably, if you haven't read it, it sounds really weird and strange, but most people seem to agree it's worth checking out.
It's the best thing about the Ashes. There is nothing better, and you need to definitely check out the deleted scenes. But there's only one way of checking out the deleted scenes, right?
Yes. So you can subscribe to a free version and a whole heap of my other content. You can subscribe to that. You go to newsletter.leapcricket.com. I just set that up today, so that's much simpler. Newsletter.leapcricket.com. So you can get all the free stuff for free, but if you do want the deleted scenes and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, you have to become a paid subscriber, which is not that expensive. It's quite cheap. So big thank you to all my paid subscribers who do get the deleted scenes. And the most recent deleted scene I put out today was voice style additions for the new team song singer now that Nathan Lyon is injured. So
I'm sure this is the way they did it. The way they selected the new team songster. And of course, there is a special appearance by Stuart Broad in this latest deleted scene. So you don't want to miss it.
Yes, Stuart does make a sneaky appearance.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's play Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade Cricketer?
We are in the quiz, and I think I am the subject of the
you
quiz.
You are the subject of the quiz. This quiz is called Nationality Stumpers. So So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a quote about Alex Carey's stumping of Johnny Bairstow, and you just have to tell me the nationality of the person who said the quote, either Australian or English.
Oh, this should be pretty easy.
Should be pretty easy, you think. You get 1 point for that. You also get a bonus point if you can actually name the individual who said it, which might be slightly trickier. But
yes, but I have consumed a lot of content on this particular topic.
Yes, I think we've had no choice but to consume. Yes. There has been no other discussion on this particular topic. So first quote, let's go. England have nothing to complain about. It was a dozy bit of cricket from Johnny Bairstow. English or Australian, that quote?
Now, I do remember this. This was on the Sky commentary, right? Mm-hmm, now, it was whatever we were watching, and of course, the Sky commentators are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
But I can't quite remember which England captain. It was some ex-English player on commentary. Now, was it Nasser Hussain or maybe? Anyway, they're English, right?
Yes.
It was either Nasser Hussain or maybe Atherton.
Yeah, you get a point for English.
I get a point for English.
And you're right. All the England captains on Sky were pretty much of this opinion. So you're just going to
okay.
It down
they all had
to
the same
one.
Opinion. So I know it wasn't. I know it wasn't Cook, for example. But it could have been Hussain or maybe Atherton or someone. I'm not sure.
Owen Morgan. Could have been any of them.
I wasn't Owen Morgan. I'm not sure he was so enamoured of the decision.
I think he was pretty. He was pretty okay with it too, but he'd had an Irish accent, which he'd probably remember more strongly.
Oh, let's say that it was Atherton then.
It is indeed Atherton. Hey. Well done. So yes, congratulations. That's 2 points on that particular question. And yes, as we mentioned, not a single one of the former England captains in the commentary box had a problem with the stumping. But you know, not a single one of them ever captained Bazball. So that's probably a different.
I think it's very easy to be critical of your keeper when you don't have to be the one disciplining them,
yes.
Right?
Very true. Yes. All right, second quote. What amazed me, ... so I've edited out a little bit here. What amazed me was that not one senior player among them questioned what they had done. Is that an English comment or an Australian comment? What amazed me was that not one senior player among them questioned what they had done.
That's very preachy. I mean, it looks on the surface like I don't know this quote, but it looks on the surface like it should be someone from England who's made this comment. But it sounds also like the sort of empty words of maybe Tubby Taylor. So I think it's
English or Australian?
I think it's an Australian, and I'm going Taylor.
No, you're incorrect on that one. This one was in fact English. Your instincts are right. This was our hero, Stuart Broad.
Oh, right, okay. Well, he did say a lot.
He did say a lot,
yes.
I
can't remember everything he said. So
he had
good.
A grand time shouting in throughout his entire innings, which was easily the funniest thing that anybody was doing out there in the middle at that point.
And when he was asked about that, he had a funny quote about it too, didn't he? That he said it was a bit silly.
Yeah, he said it may have been a bit silly, but I also shouted in every time I crossed the line. It annoyed the Australians for maybe half an hour, although after 2.5 hours, they were probably a bit bored of it. Good on you, Stuart.
What a hero. Yep. Fantastic work from Stuart Broad.
Very funny. So 2 out of 4 possible points so far.
Okay.
The third quote. That there are those who would defend the unfair, unsportsmanlike, nakedly hostile and frankly racist, yes, English is a race, actions of Australian so-called wicketkeeper Alex Carey and so-called captain Pat Cummins just proves how far we have fallen from the presence of God. Is that an English comment or an Australian comment?
Well, I read this article. Yes. So
I think everybody's read this article.
I know that this, in fact, was an Australian, and this is Ben Pobgy who did this.
Yes, a brilliant satirical piece for The Roar.
And how many people in the comments thought that it was serious?
Hopefully not many, because
it was pretty full on.
It was pretty full on, but it was very funny. So, yes, if you haven't read this one, I'm sure you could track it down very easily. Go to The Roar. com.au and look for Ben Pobgy there, and you'll find this very entertaining piece. So yes, you got that one right. So that takes you to 4 out of 6 points.
I'm kind of a bit frightened at this point that there were so many quotes about this particular controversy that we may be here all night.
There's only six, so we're halfway through.
Great.
Only six in this quiz anyway. As you say, there are thousands more quotes.
Yeah.
The fourth quote. We must applaud the game smarts of the individual rather than skewing it towards unfair play or spirit of the game. English or Australian?
Well, I know this, and I'm going to claim this is not in the spirit of the are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer, because this is neither an English nor an Australian.
No, it's not.
And this was Ashwin who said this, who could always be relied upon to come in with a fantastic take on every possible controversy.
Yep.
Didn't he say he'd be disappointed as well?
Yeah, so he basically came in, he said that quote, and then somebody quote tweeted him and said, you know, would you be happy being given out that way? And he replied, I would be disappointed, very disappointed. In fact, gutted with myself for getting out like that.
That's so great. And also, I think he said something like the keeper would never have a go at the stumps from that far out in a test match unless he'd seen a pattern of behaviour.
Yeah, which he clearly had.
He clearly had. And that was really great that was a response to. As Ashwin has proven, he's happy to do a man cad every now and again.
He loves taking the wickets off when a batter is out of their crease.
Yeah.
So the lesson, stay in your crease.
Stay in your crease, people.
The fifth quote. It's just one of those things within the rules of the game, and that's how it is. English or Australian?
Well, this is probably, I don't know who this is. I think I'm going to guess it was an Australian. Was this Pat Cummins?
No, it wasn't Pat Cummins. Okay. It was a certain Englishman called Mr. Johnny Bairstow who said this. This is after a stumping he did in some county game where he held the ball and waited for a batter to leave their ground, in contrast to Carey, of course, who just flung it at the stumps immediately. So, yeah, so just listen to Johnny Bairstow and what he thought about that.
All keepers do it. Batsmen probably don't like it, do they?
I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's within the rules of the game, and that's how it is.
That's how it is. Thank you, Johnny. So, yes.
Well, you want to have the man himself giving that quote. That's fantastic.
Fantastic. All right. So, you didn't get that one. So, you're now 6 out of a possible 10. So,
I'm over halfway.
At worst, you're getting 50%. Yeah. Last quote.
Okay.
Always very interesting to me how the spirit of cricket seems to revolve around England batters being allowed to bat on even when they're out. The legacy of W.G. Grace, I guess.
I read this article as well.
Did you? English or Australian?
So this is Australian and this is you, in fact.
It is me, yes. That was me on Twitter, and it was comments like that that had the Daily Mail referring to me as a, quote, top pundit.
Oh.
So that may be going in my Twitter bio at some time.
Yes, top pundit.
Yeah, so congratulations. I think that means you've got 8 out of 12 or something.
Fantastic.
That's enough to see you retain the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade Cricketer trophy.
Fantastic.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
Here we are in the Moeller Award, which salutes outstanding and all ridiculous things in the world of cricket. And I've got a very quick early nomination here from Ricky Ponting, who was on commentary at one point and made the astonishing claim that everyone's eyes work the same. They were talking about, you know, how hard it is to, I don't know, see the shiny side or something. And he said, nope, everyone's eyes work the same. Which I think is going to come to as a very rude shock to my optometrist. So Ricky Ponting is my first nomination.
Wild claims there from Ricky Ponting.
Yes. Well, what have you got?
I'm going to do the obvious nomination for Johnny Bairstow
for
carrying the Just Stop Oil protester off the ground on the very first day of this test, which seems like a long, long time ago
now. It does, yeah. But, that was the good thing Johnny did, so very good.
And I remember saying at the time, Johnny Bairstow may never be remembered for anything else. This is such a famous moment for Johnny Bairstow. Will anyone ever remember anything else about Johnny Bairstow?
No.
Yeah, well, didn't think so, but.
All right, my next nomination is two old guys who probably won't be playing in the third Ashes test. It's Jimmy Anderson and Nathan Lyon. Well, one of them certainly won't be, and Jimmy Anderson probably be. They both took time out of the Ashes in between the first and second test to throw the opening pitches at a Major League Baseball game in London. So that was a bit of fun for them.
Absolutely.
Had a bit of a friendly chat. They also had a bit of a friendly chat, apparently, while they were waiting for Nathan Lyon to come out to bat. I think Jimmy Anderson had ducked off to go to the toilet or something, and then they were just having a chat waiting for him to come out. And basically Jimmy Anderson said, "Are you crazy coming out to bat?" And Nathan Lyon said, "Yeah, pretty much."
Fantastic.
So, yeah, then they talked about, you know, how long they keep playing for. And Jimmy Anderson basically told Nathan Lyon, "Oh, keep playing as long as you enjoy it." So there you go. So maybe we'll see both of them going around in, you know, 2.5 years' time or 4 years' time.
Well, that'd be wonderful too.
Mm.
So I have another nomination here, mm-hmm. this time for the women's test, and that was because a beehive formed yes. on the nets outside the boundary at Trent Bridge, and they had to call in a beekeeper.
Yes, one of the better keepers we've seen. Certainly very efficient. So on the ranking of keepers, we've got Carey,
beekeeper.
This beekeeper, Besto.
Besto, that's right.
I think that's the correct ranking, yes.
It is.
All right, moving away from all the Ashes nonsense, we head off to Gaul. This is where there was a women's ODI and we had New Zealand off-spinner Eden Carson bowled 11 overs against Sri Lanka. So
this is in an ODI.
This is in ODIs, which traditionally, since the 80s at the very least, has limited most bowlers to 10 overs. So she finished with the figures of 2 for 41 in 11 overs, which is going to really annoy a lot of cricket stats databases and things. So apparently she finished the 45th over and Sri Lanka were down to their final wicket, still 122 runs short of their target. But despite six of her teammates still having overs available, somehow she just came to the crease for the 47th over and bowled again. So
was anyone scoring this match?
Apparently not. I think when New Zealand scored 329 for 7, they said, "Oh, fuck it, let's just stop scoring.
Yeah,
they're never going to get
stop
that.
Scoring. We need a beer."
Yep.
Often in these kind of games, you know, someone gets credited an over that maybe she bowled and they gave it to someone else. Yep. And then later on they go, "Oh, actually, that was her."
Yeah. So that was that's very good. The other thing I liked, this was Wisden and Winviz. They teamed up. So the two W's, they call them.
Mm.
They decided that they were going to provide AI-driven ball-by-ball commentary for the second men's Ashes test. So using the magic of Winviz, they'd, you know, spurt out England have 31% chance of winning or whatever, and they'll be integrated into the ball-by-ball figures. So would you like to hear how the AI-driven ball-by-ball commentary described the Bairstow wicket?
Yes, let's go for it.
It said, "Besto is out, gone for 10 runs from 22 balls. Besto is stumped, short ball outside off. Besto hits." I think that's a glitch.
I don't know that he did hit it.
"Besto has an unsuccessful review of the dismissal." Not quite sure that's right either, but nevertheless, AI, it's still in its infancy. Got it mostly right there.
Got it maybe 40% correct.
Yeah, that's as close as you get.
I was going to suggest that Wisden and Winviz should be called Wisdenviz.
Wisdenviz,
but I don't actually think it's a good collaboration based on that little factoid.
Perhaps not.
Maybe not. Was AI also doing the percentage predictions for the match winner? Because they were wildly variable as well. Australia 82%, now Australia 25%. Whoa.
Yes. I think they did put their Winviz calculation on pause last year in the very early days of Bazball because Bazball just kept fucking it up on them. And they, you know, redid their algorithm, redid their model, and they've come back. And I still think they still haven't been able to work out an algorithm that can take into calculation Ben Stokes going off his nut.
No.
I think that's something that just can't quite be captured by any form of mathematics.
It was, while he was hitting sixes, it was 100% certain that England were going to win.
Yes.
Somehow Australia still won. So I understand this weird...
Mathematics makes no sense in the face of Ben Stokes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have one final nomination. Lots of nominations this week.
Yes, plenty.
So what's the final nomination here?
So this is the West Indies. Mm. Sadly, they've missed out on qualifying for the One Day World Cup later this year.
Yes.
The West Indies men. Instead, it looks like Scotland will be going through and with Sri Lanka.
Yes.
So the West Indies were trying to defend 378 in a match against the Netherlands.
Yes.
Now, the Netherlands, so the match finished level.
Yes, level.
Which was incredible. But Logan van Beek for the Netherlands, scored a 14-ball 28 in the dying stages of that match to draw level.
And I think he was bowled off the very last ball, so scores were level.
Right.
He was dismissed. I don't think he was bowled, but he was dismissed.
Super over?
Super over, yes. What happened in the super over?
So then Van Beek came out, hit 30 runs for the super over. Yeah, I mean, he was in form. I suppose he's the best batter to take out there.
Yeah, but he's like their number 9 batter or something, but they said, oh, you're going so well, keep going in the super over.
Yeah, and then because he's the number 9, he turned around and bowled the super over. Just amazing, and got a couple of wickets. And
he took 2 wickets, so he effectively bowled the West Indies out, because like you can only lose 2 wickets in a super over. So that's the greatest super over in the history of the game.
Is Logan a superhero?
He is. He's definitely a superhero.
Yeah.
Magnificent stuff. So despite that, it looks like, as we mentioned, Scotland will beat Netherlands to the final spot, but I think there's still net right possibilities. But so we shall keep you updated on that, probably when we do our World Cup episode in several months' time.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And I think that's it. So who wins out of those enormous list of possibilities there?
I think we have to give it to Johnny Bairstow.
Johnny Bairstow, congratulations. You can carry your Muller Award off the ground with you. And yes, congratulations on winning it. And that wraps us up, right?
Yeah. You've been listening to Dan Libke and Kat Jones. I'm Cricket Bat Kat on various bits of social media, and Dan is at LibCricket, and your newsletter sign up is
newsletter.libcricket.com. So go there, sign up for free, get lots of content for free, and then think about it, or don't think about it, just go straight in and pay, up to you. And we will speak to you all probably in a couple of weeks' time, right?
Yes, we are going to be in England watching the Ashes, which is wonderful. So we'll talk to you maybe on the other side.
Social Podcast Network.